Blog Talk Radio.
You just tuned in to Blog Talk Radio, and this is Talk to Me, hosted by the one and the only, the most fantabulous, loveliest, wealthiest, and most jubilant sister in the world. That's right. My name is Minister Cherie Humphrey, and I am the founder and president of Diamonds in the Rough, Finding the Spirit in Me, and the producer of A Star is Born Talent Events and Talk to Me Media. Our motto is Standing Firm on the Promises of God. This is such a special show to me and my family, because my first guest is actually my cousin, who is a business owner, and her name is Katrina Atkinson. And then my mother, Avis Daniels, is calling in, and then one of the funniest comedians I've ever met, Black Sav, will be calling in after that. So tune in. Share this with somebody. Go get you a popsicle, some popcorn, some cheese doodles, whatever you need to make yourself comfortable. But share the link. I do want to get into the background of the show in case people have never heard this show before. Well, I've been doing it 13 years. We just had our anniversary in April. Over 500 guests, over 200 episodes, over 10,000 in listeners, and probably way more, reaching the U.S., Canada, Germany, Indonesia, Cameroon, Philippines, India, Ireland, Sweden, South Korea, Malaysia, Japan, Dominican Republic, South Africa, and Nigeria. If there's time at the end of the show, as you know, if you've heard the show before, I will read some of the past guests that have graced this show. But right now, there's too much to do. And Mother's Day is coming up, and I wanted to honor my mother and honor my aunts, her sisters that have gone before her, Izita, Onita, and Chandra. And all my grandmothers that helped raise me, Grandma Dorothy, my great-grandmother, Grandma Susie, who raised me for the most part of my life, and Grandma Humphrey. And so, and you know, to share with you all, if you have lost a mother and your mother's no longer here, that you can remember the blessed things and the great things about you and her and your relationship with her. And if you never met your mother, your biological mother, and someone stepped in to be a mother figure, you know, that you may honor that person and love that person and be appreciative for someone stepping in. I've had so many mother figures in my life, like I can't even explain. God always had a ram in the bush. And so if it wasn't for a lot of these women in the community, especially in the area of Stanford, I don't know how I would have made it. And so there was always someone stepping in. So these scriptures are coming out of the ESV version on a mother's love. Isaiah 49:15 says, "Can a woman forget her nursing child, that she should have no compassion on the son of her womb? Even these may forget, yet I will not forget you." And that's the Lord talking. Exodus 20:12 says, "Honor your mother and your father, that your days may be long in the land, and that the Lord your God is giving you." And so in order to be honored, you need to be honorable parents who are raising your children, who are doing, or who are still mothers, and you have time. If you messed up and you got it wrong and you ain't know what you was doing and you needed help and you screwed your children up, it's time to get it right. It's time to get it right. Pray, 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 and reconcile. Life is too short. You know what I'm saying? Proverbs 31:25-30 says, "Strength and dignity are her clothing, and she laughs at the time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom and the teaching of kindness on her tongue. She looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many women have done excellently, but you surpass them all." I'm going to get two more in here, and then we're going to start with the guests and the music. Titus 2:4 says, "And so train the young women to love their husbands and children." 2 Timothy 1:5 says, "I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now I am sure dwells in you as well." And so ponder on those. If you have any questions, you can always reach out to me via text inbox, or go to your local pastor or minister or whomever might be able to help you and to explain. And so right now I'm going to take I'm not going to take another music break yet. I want to tell you a little bit about donations, because donations really help. It takes time and energy to prepare these shows. And I've been doing a lot of them. It's been 13 years. And I don't ask for much. But if you find it in your heart, you can give to myself or Diamonds in the Rough, or by ordering arts and books. Go to my website, to the books page, or go to the arts page, read the descriptions, choose them, contact me via text or inbox, DM, email, and then I'll tell you how to make your payments. I have available Cash App, PayPal, Venmo, Square, POS, and Person Cash. You can contact me at 203-952-9807. And please don't contact me with no stupid mess. If you're serious and these are serious inquiries, then you reach out to me. Otherwise, don't bother me, okay? I ain't got time for men playing games, trying to slide up in my DM for all kinds of stupid reasons, okay? If you like to book me as an MC to teach, preach, run a class, a forum on sexual assault or domestic violence, or have me as a spoken word artist, comedian, actress, slash director, or as a business consultant, reach out to me. I'll let you know what I'm able to do, capable to do, and willing to do, and fees will apply and honorariums are mandatory. Payment plans for the art is accepted. Condolences. Go out to my cousin Diane, who lost her father, my uncle Buster Gray. The funeral is happening right now as I speak in Stanford at Bethel AME. So I just want to send my love to my family. Also to my BFF of 39 years. We grew up together and we have stayed friends since middle school, and she lost her father as well. And I believe he's down in Ridgeland. He was down in Ridgeland, South Carolina. So my condolences go out to her. I love you both very much, and so sad to hear about the passing of your father. And I am going to go to a very quick break and play some music, and then I will have my first caller on. I'm going to play a little bit of Dear Mama by Tupac.
When I was pregnant in jail, I thought I was going to have a baby and the baby would never be with me, but I was acquitted a month and 3 days before Tupac was born. I was real happy because I had a son.
When I was young, me and my mama had beef, 17 years old, kicked out on the street. Though back at the time, I never thought I'd see a face. Ain't a woman alive that could take my mama's place. Suspended from school, scared to go home. I was a fool with the big boys breaking all the rules. Shed tears with my baby sister. Over the years, we was poor than other little kids. And even though we had different daddies, the same drama when things went wrong, we blamed mama. I reminisce on the stress I caused. It was hell, hugging on my mama from a jail cell. Thinking elementary. Hey, I see the penitentiary one day. Running from the police, that's right. Mama catch me, put a whoop into my backside. And even as a crack fiend, mama, you always was a black queen. Mama, I finally understand, for a woman it ain't easy trying to raise a man. You always was committed, a poor single mother on welfare. Tell me how you did it, there's no way I can pay you back. But the plan is to show you that I understand. You all appreciate it.
Lady, don't you know we love you,
sweet? Dear mama.
Lady, place no one above you,
sweet. You all appreciate it.
Lady, don't you know we love you?
Now ain't nobody tell us it was fair. No love for my daddy cause the coward wasn't there. He passed away and I didn't cry. Cause my anger wouldn't let me feel for a stranger. They say I'm wrong and I'm heartless. But all along I was looking for a father, he was gone. I hung around with the thugs. And even though they sold drugs, they showed a young brother love. I moved out and started really hanging. I needed money of my own, so I started slanging. I ain't guilty cause even though I sell rocks, it feels good putting money in your mailbox. I love paying rent when the rent's due. Hope you got the diamond necklace that I sent to you. Cause when I was low, you was there for me. You never left me alone because you cared for me. And I can see you coming home after work late. You're in the kitchen trying to fix us a hot plate. You're just working with the scraps you was given. And mama made miracles every Thanksgiving. But now the road got rough, you're alone. You're trying to raise two bad kids on your own. And there's no way I can pay you back. But my plan is to show you that I understand. You all appreciate it.
So there you have it. That's a classic, Dear Mama by Tupac. I am going to plug my first caller in. She is waiting patiently. Hello?
Hello?
Hi.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you good, cuz. Everybody, this is Katrina Atkinson. This girl is making moves. She is on the rise.
Hey, y'all.
Yeah, any shout-outs you want to give, go ahead and do that right now. You could do that.
Oh, I appreciate you, cousin. First of all, thank you for having me on. It is such a blessing to
be
here. It's been a long time coming. I just thank God just to be alive and to be here. And I just want to give a shout-out, really, because it's a dedication to all the mamas. So I want to give a quick shout-out to all the mamas out there, the single mothers, the grandmothers, the aunts, the aunties, the foster mothers. Whatever type of mother you are, know that you truly are blessed and appreciated, and we love you.
Yes, absolutely, absolutely. And, you know, since we have seen each other, you have really been making moves with your businesses. And you said you had five businesses, but the ones that I wanted to talk about is the Pinky Party, number one, and Be My Guest. And the reason why I love that was birthed in you being my point person for years with Diamonds in the Rough. And you were so good. I would tell you that all the time. You are good at wrapping these gifts because I can't do it. I don't have the patience. And you are great at decorating. And you just took it and you ran with it.
Yes, ma'am, and the best is yet to come.
Absolutely. So tell me a little bit about how Pinky's Party has evolved.
Well, Pinky's Party first started off as just a party, simple party decor, things like that. But now it has evolved into where now I can do customized photo boards. So if your child or your corporate event or your banquet, whatever you have, has a theme, I can now draw and illustrate a custom photo board where it has a cutout in the board where your guest can come and take a photo for free from your board, which it's always affordable. You know, it's always done in advance and always on time. So whatever your theme is, whether it's a kid's party, whether it's a wedding, what have you, I will make it for any type of event. Also, I have a business called Be My Guest LLC that is customizable gift baskets where people can tell me, hey, I want a basket for, let's say, your mother, and your mother loves the color purple, or she loves candles, or she loves Kit Kats, whatever it is, I will put it in that basket, and it'll be customizable and personable to her or your loved one or whoever you want to give the gift basket to.
Oh, that's beautiful. And you decorate them so nicely. You always have.
Oh, thank you.
And
thank you.
Yes, and for people who don't know, look at the pictures on the show page because the slideshow will show Katrina. And it will also show her mom, Onita, who was my aunt. And it will show Pinky's Party, and it Be My Guest, the gift baskets on the show page. So look through there if you know, and if you're interested, basically, how can you be reached on Facebook?
They can contact me, messenger me on Facebook, or they can contact me at my personal number, which I will give out right now. If you have a pen, you can write it down.
Are you sure you
want to
do this? You
want to
give your personal number out?
Well, you know what? Let's just keep it. Okay, let's keep it simple. If you would like a basket if you would like a photo board or a customizable gift basket, just message me on Facebook. That'll be easier.
Yes.
I'm always up there. You know, you're right, Cherie. You know, times are different. I keep forgetting that. So it'll be best just to message me or DM me, and then I will be working on my pages soon. So you will definitely, my business pages, you'll be able to contact me through there. And thank you all for those who have supported me in the past. I appreciate you.
Yes, because people is crazy, like you said, number one. And, you know, privacy can be a problem. But, you know, my number's been public for over 10 years doing Diamonds in the Rough. Probably even longer.
Forever.
Yeah.
For real.
For about 20 years, right?
Yes. I didn't know it was possible.
My and Lord. I got like 600 names blocked, girl. So people is crazy. So
yeah, we got to be safe. We got to protect ourselves, especially women. We got to protect ourselves in 2023.
Yes. Yes, and so tell me a little bit about what you're feeling. What does this topic, Dear Mama, mean to you?
Oh, this is definitely near and dear to my heart. My mother passed away, your aunt passed away back in November of 2003 from lymphedema and breast cancer. She fought a good fight. It went into remission, and then it came back with a vengeance. So,
yes.
It's very surreal to know that it's been almost 20 years now that she's been gone, and it feels
right.
like it was just yesterday. And
absolutely.
She was such a pillar in my life and my sister's life, you know, and in the family's life. You know, we're a very close family. You know, we love each other. We consider each other brothers and sisters as far as cousins are concerned. Your
right.
aunt is my
right.
mother. You know what I mean? Aunt Chandra, Grandma Susie, Grandma Dorothy, Aunt Izita, everybody that has went on were very powerful women in our lives, and I just thank God for them. And so, you know, it's going to be hard to celebrate without her, but I know her spirit is always with me.
Absolutely, absolutely. And, you know, my mother, you know, sometime I'm sure she's going through some changes because she's missing her mother and all her sisters as well, you know. And so, you know, I feel for her, you know, at the same time because, you know, those were her actual sisters. And
right.
I can only imagine if it was my sisters, you know, I would be devastated and, you
yes.
know, don't know how I would be able to get through it but God. You know, and time heals, but we all still have the memories. And like you said, we were a very close-knit family. There was always some kind of cookout, party. At
yes, we
still house.
Are, you know.
Yes, and I remember your aunt before you was born, and she used to
uh-huh.
do my hair, and I used to get slapped upside the head with the brush all the time. And
then we all at some point.
Yes. And she was, you know, always, she was close to my age. So she was like a big sister to me when we all lived with Grandma.
Right.
You know, and so she would sometimes call me for advice on you as a teen
right.
when you were growing up, you know, because
yes.
we were so close in age. And near the end of her time,
yes.
she helped me get through Grandma Susie's passing. And
yeah.
She was even sick again at that time, but she helped me buy my first home with my friend, you know, back in the day,
yeah.
you know,
yeah.
and she used to talk to me, you know, to try to help me get through certain situations,
yeah.
you know, that really a lot of people didn't know about. So I appreciate Aunt Onita as well. And I know you have a poem
we appreciate
or something
too.
For her. Oh,
yes,
thank
and real
you.
Quick, we appreciate you too, Cherie. Don't let, you know, time or distance make you think that you're not appreciated because you are. You were a mother in the community to many. You were like a young older sister to me, you know, because you used to always look
yes.
out, whether it was with my clothing, whether it was like, come on over, Katrina, let me, you know, let's watch some video soul or something together or whatever, some soul
yep.
train on Saturday. I used to always harass you trying to get in your room, you know, because you were like a role
every
model.
Every Saturday.
You were like... You were like Janet Jackson in my mind, you know what I'm saying? So I appreciate you too. And I did write a quick letter that I wanted to just read real quick, if you don't mind. It's not long, just to express to my
okay.
mom because there's been some stuff that I haven't been able to get out since she's died because
I know
I've
you
been
need
on
to do
go.
That.
I've
yes.
been on go since she died. So this is real quick.
Yes.
And the letter is called, "Is Dear Mama, I want to say that I thank God for the strength and the courage to write my love letter to you. Mommy, you have been gone for 20 years this past November, and I remember that day like it was yesterday. Sometimes I wonder, were you ready to leave because you were suffering in silence, and were you ready to go home to be with the Lord? I want to say thank you so much for showing me the love and the ways of the Lord, and I am forever grateful for you being an example and a true woman of God. I wish others could have known how sweet, funny, talented, hardworking, and resilient you really were. Thank you for moving us out of the projects, exposing me to a life full of love, culture, and so many experiences that most children would dream of. I want to thank you for birthing me and my beautiful sister, Ashley. I felt so honored when you nicknamed me Special K. Even when there were times and days I didn't feel special or even good enough, I will always love and miss you always. You hold such a special place in my heart and soul. It was an honor to be your daughter, and today I celebrate you and every day for all that you are and all that you have been to me. Love always, Katrina.
Yes, and I'm going to give you a few seconds there because I know it's very, very heartfelt and touching. And, you know, the more we talk about things, you know, in a positive light, or even just how we feel, the more we can heal. Just disregarding it or pushing it aside doesn't make it better. And it doesn't, you know, help with the healing process. And so talking about it, praying about it, talking to women who are more seasoned than you, always helps. And time. Time helps, heals all wounds. And if I didn't understand that, I understand it now, you know, at the age I am. And, you know, your mother, she was so versatile, resilient, like you said, and she was funny as I don't know what.
Right.
That she was, you know what I'm saying? And I never forget when she put makeup on me and my mother didn't let me use it, and she put makeup on me for the reunion when we were down south and you were screaming for 7-Eleven in the car, like almost an hour straight. 7-Eleven! I mean,
yes, I remember that trip going down south. We had Grandma frying chicken, and I was in the back seat having a whole temper tantrum. Yes, don't embarrass me on this show now.
And that was before she became a missionary and she put makeup on my face and I felt so beautiful. And she just, you know, connected, and, you know, because she was the aunt. You know, she was the aunt. She wasn't the mama. So she let me put on makeup. And, you know, I really love the tribute you did to her. And
thank
you keep on writing, you know, in a journal or something about your feelings.
Yes, ma'am.
They don't always have to be shared, but it's for you. You know what I mean?
Yes.
I did that
Thank
for
you.
Some
I appreciate
time.
It.
Yes. And so is there any last-minute things you would like to say real quick before I go to a break and my mother calls in?
Yes, I'm all about supporting Black businesses. So this weekend coming, Mother's Day weekend, I will be doing an event and collaborating with a friend of mine. She said I can give her a shout-out, Shaquanta Campbell. Hey, if you're listening, her businesses, if you're looking for a dope 360 machine, it's the machine that spins around while you're taking pictures. Her business is LNS 360 Production, and she said I can give out her number. It's 203-534-9149. Shaquanta, that's for you, baby.
All right. All right. Wonderful, wonderful. And I always love supporting people when they're doing positive things and trying to go in the right direction. Yes. And I love that. And you tell Shaquanta that I wish her much success in her endeavors. And I definitely wish you much success. And I know that this Pinky's Party and the Be My Guest, I know those are going too. Those in particular, I don't know the rest of them, but those in particular I know are going places. Just stick with it.
Yes, ma'am.
Stick with it.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes. And I love you, Trina. And I.
I love you too. I love you too. I do.
Yes.
Thank you for having me
on.
This means so much to me.
Yes. And hopefully I'll see
all
you
right,
over
girl.
The Mother's Day weekend.
Yes, you too now. All right.
Okay.
Do your thing.
All right. Bye-bye.
All right.
Okay. Bye-bye. But there you have it. That was Katrina Atkinson. She is the CEO of Pinky's Party and Be My Guest. I'm going to go to a very quick break and play one of my mother's favorite songs. I can't play the two other songs that she loves so much, but I'm going to play The Midas Touch. So, by Midnight Star.
Extra! extra, extra, read all about it. I'm talking front page stories all over the world. It shook up men, women, boys, and girls. The headline said, if you want to be rich, then you better make sure that you got shirts. Now come on. Hit it.
That was the Midas Touch by Midnight Star. That was a dedication to my mom. I know she likes that song. She's holding on right now. And so I want to introduce everybody to Avis Daniel. She is my mother. You will probably know her if you come from Stanford, especially the Southfield Village. They used to call her Sis Fly. She was the most beautiful woman in Stanford, and that is definitely not a lie. Retired from the post office for 37 years. And I'm going to plug her in right now.
Hello. Hi, baby.
Hi, Mom. How you doing?
I'm doing okay. And
okay.
It was 38 years.
38? Oh, wow.
Well, it's about 38 years, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so
okay.
Anyway, I just want to tell everybody, to all the mothers in the world, happy blessed Mother's Day, and may us all be blessed to see it when it comes on Sunday.
Yes, absolutely.
And yes, and I'm so grateful that I'm a mom, and I mean, yes, moms have ups and downs, but I just thank God that I'm here to live to see my sisters. My daughters and my sisters and stuff, they all passed away, but I have my children and I have my grandchildren, and that's what keeps me going.
Yes, Absolutely. And how many grandkids you got now, Ma?
it's kind of hard to keep track of them. I think it's between 15 or 16 grandchildren that I claim.
Yes. Yes. Okay. Okay. Because I know you be adding on people in numbers, and I'm like, who are they? I've never met these people before in my life.
Right, but I have adopted daughters and stuff too, you know, so I count their children too, but they're my grands too.
Yeah, Tony's kids.
Yes.
Yes, I get, yes, mm-hmm. yes, absolutely. She's like a little sister to me.
mm-hmm.
Yep, so Mom, tell us, you know, about, I know you wanted to give a tribute to Grandma, so tell us a little bit about who she was to you.
Oh, boy, so hard because my mother was the most beautiful person you ever want to meet. She was very soft-spoken, and she always was smiling. She had the most beautiful smile. And that's why I get a lot of my looks from my mom. And actually, my my real dad, I got looks from him too. But he passed away in 2019.
Right, right.
Yeah, so and anyway, I have another dad too. My second dad, he passed away many years ago. So I had adopted father too.
Right, right.
Yeah, so my mother, I just call her Pocahontas, Princess Pocahontas, because she had the most beautiful long hair. When she was young, her hair was down past her butt.
Yes, I remember.
mm-hmm.
I remember.
Yep.
And
so
you
anyway,
know, you were... Okay, go ahead, Mom. Well, go ahead.
Go ahead, baby. You go ahead and talk.
No, I wanted to say... You were her, like her strong arm, because you held up the family, you know, were growing up.
I did.
When you were just a child yourself, you took responsibility to help her out and raise your brothers and sisters, you know,
brothers and sisters.
Yes. Yeah. And so tell us a little bit about that.
Oh, boy. I was like a drill sergeant. Because them kids, they were acting up, my sisters and my brother, and I would make them sit on the bed and sit there till my mother get home, because she used to work sometime at King's Department Store. I don't know if people remember that years ago down in the South End.
Oh, I remember.
Yes, and she used to work there, and when she got home, she said, I can't believe you got these kids under control and that they're all sitting on the bed. My sister and them know I did not play. I could be the serious person, but don't cross me. You know, you want to act up and everything, and I'm like a drill sergeant.
Oh yeah, I know that's where I get it from. Order in the house. Order.
Yes. I had to, because they, you know, they had to learn, you know, what was right and what was wrong.
And so what was one of the most special memories you have of Grandma Dorothy?
Oh, boy. Let's see. The most special
Take
memories. Well, a lot of special memories that I had was when it was her birthday and when it was Christmas. Especially Christmas. Oh, my God. That was the most happiest time for me and my family. And we always try to sneak and look into the gifts, you know, and didn't want her to know that we was trying to peek in the gifts. And then when we did try to peek in, then we said, you know what, we better leave this alone. So then we would just put it back, and then we'd wait till Christmas Day. And I love to see my mother's expression. Every time I bought her a gift, I love to see her beautiful smile that she had.
Yes.
And it was
Grandma
just so graceful.
Grandma liked to laugh a lot, too.
Yes, she did. And it was just so graceful, you know, when she smiled and she laughed. And I just loved it. It just made me happy inside and filled me with joy by seeing her happy.
Right.
Because, you know, I was her eldest, and I always had her back.
Right. Yes.
And that's
yes,
why I keep
sure
trying to still remind my kids that I had their backs.
Well, I'm the oldest, yep. So there's no...
Yeah.
There ain't no discrepancy with that.
No, it isn't. It isn't. You're right.
Because I had your back even when I was too small to do anything about it.
Yes, you did.
You
yes,
know,
you did.
I was willing to fight at the drop
yes,
of a dime if anybody came up to you.
Yeah, that's where I was with my mom. That's where I was with my mom because I didn't anybody say anything bad or anything against my mom, which I don't think too many people did because she really had a beautiful spirit. And a lot of
right.
people just loved her. So, oh, we just love Miss Rush. And then my mother was always, and one thing I did remember about my mom, when she made us go to church every day. We went
yes.
to night service. We went to Sunday school. You know, we went
yep.
to regular, you know, our regular church. And I know we used to go to noonday prayer. We didn't like it all the time, but my mother didn't play that. And she made us go. And we had no choice
yes.
but to go.
Yep. I remember because when you moved out, she had me and Michael and Kristen. We had to do the same thing.
Yeah.
You
yeah.
know, we were in church almost every single day. I mean.
yeah. Yeah.
you know. But
yeah, well, I never
good.
Forgot. I never forgot what my mother taught me.
Yes. Yes. And so what do you think was the most challenging for you, being that you was the oldest? You had, you know, three sisters and a brother, you know,
yes.
Grandma Dorothy that she was trying to be there for. And you
mm-hmm.
had me. You already had given birth to me.
Oh, yeah. I had you at
so,
a young age.
Yeah. Yeah. So
and if
what
it wasn't
was
for
the
my
most
mom,
challenging?
It was the most challenging, I guess, was when probably when I did have, I got pregnant. And then my mom supported me and she had my back all the way. And she didn't tell me I had to get rid of my baby or anything. And matter of fact, I was nervous and scared to tell my mom. And I thought that maybe she was going to make me, you know, maybe, you know, have an abortion or anything. And I didn't want to tell her. I didn't want to put no extra stress on her. So I know she already had my sister and my brother. So, but when I did tell her, she took it like a soldier. And she said,
right.
well, I'm here for you, baby. And I'm going to help you take care of your baby.
And
that was the most challenging, having a child at a young age.
Right, right, absolutely. So what do you think, you know, was the most challenging raising me, you know, as a baby? What was the most challenging for you? You told me a story about how I rolled down your legs once.
Yes, you know what
you
it was? I tried to breastfeed you, you know, and for 2 weeks I did. And boy, you was sucking on my breast so hard. I said, oh, no, I can't do this. I said, I got to stop this. I said, I'm getting regular milk. I said, we're going to have Enfamil. I think we had got Enfamil. So anyway, we would get that, you know, because they had the thing
right.
for the mother's, you know, the WIC program back then when,
right.
when you were a baby. So that
right.
helped my mom a lot. And it helped me,
right.
you know. But I thank
yeah.
God because
yeah.
God blessed me to get a job at 17. And I was working in the post office at age 17.
Right, right. Well, I remember one time, I ain't going to get into too many details. I had to be like 2 years old. And I caught
right.
all of y'all having a party while Grandma Dorothy wasn't home.
Oh,
Isaac
my God.
Was jumping on the bed. Chandra was in the room hiding. Onita was in there, too, being quiet when you opened up the door. And you was like, Sherry, don't tell nobody. Don't tell nobody. Don't let Grandma Dorothy know that we had a party today. So, y'all was trying to give me everything.
Yeah,
to keep my mouth shut.
Yes, yes, we did, you know, because we didn't want my mother to get mad. We
exactly.
had this party and she didn't give us permission.
Right, right. Did
you
y'all,
know how them
when you were
back
little,
in them days.
Exactly. When you were real little, did Grandma Dorothy make y'all get in the line to get a whooping like she did with me and Michael and everybody else?
Well, my mother, I think, when, as I can remember, when I was, you know, young, when we were growing up, she would pick up anything and pop you with it.
Right.
She, yeah, I don't care if it was a switch, you know, if it was a comb or a brush or anything. She'd pick it up and pop
right.
you with it.
Yes, yes. That's how I learned to do comedy, because I learned that the more I made her laugh when I was in line, the less my whooping was going to be. And sometimes
yes,
I got exonerated. That's where my skills come in. But I want to say to you, because we got to end, I see that my last caller is called in. I love you very much. And
I love you too, baby.
You know, we help raise each other. And
yes, we did.
You know, I want to, you know, just say that, you know, for Mother's Day coming up, I love you very much. There's nobody else like you. I say that all the time. You can make me the happiest or the angriest, and nobody can do that.
Right. Well, my mother always said, when they made you Avis, they broke the mold. And they can't nobody replace you.
Yes.
But I just
want
to say this one thing real quick.
Go ahead, Mom.
I
want
to put a dedication to my mom, and I just wish to God that she was here with me today, because I had so many ways. I have so many ways like my mom, and I look like my mom and everything, long, pretty hair and everything. And I just looked at my mom. I loved her so much, and I wish that she was here. You know, so I just want to say praise God for all the years that God blessed her to be with us. You know, because my mother died, I believe, at the age of 60.
Yes.
She was 60. And I'm 68.
I
just turned 68 in March the 20th.
Right.
Her spring. And I remember when it was freezing cold, she told me, oh, my God, she said she put me up under her. It was one of the coldest days in March. She said your little nose was cold and you were just so chunky. I was the biggest baby that she had.
Wow. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah.
So
and then I want to put a dedication to Grandma Susie, our grandma.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah.
She taught me a lot of things too, you know, so I had to give her all praise and respect. And she had a sweet spirit too.
Yes. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Sure did.
Yep, she'd do anything for anybody.
Right. Yep. Yep. And grandma basically raised me for most of my life.
Yes.
And so she
was always helping me, helping me out.
Yeah.
She said, I don't want these things to be too hard for you, Avis, so I just want to help you out with Sherry.
Yeah, she did that. She helped me out a lot. And helped
you out
a lot, and it was a great impact in our lives.
Yes,
and the thing about it is,
it was her that held the family together
child.
Too. Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
She held the family together too, because she always did.
She did.
Mm-hmm.
She did, and that was the magnificent part, because she never had one child.
No, she didn't.
And
she didn't.
Never had one child, but she was a mother to many.
Many.
She took people
she
in. Yes.
Yes.
She took people in. She fed them.
Yes, she did.
She drove them around town if they needed places to go.
She had
and
a good
didn't
heart.
Ask for a dime. Yes.
No, she didn't. She had a good heart.
Yep. But I got to stop the interview now. Thank you so much for calling in. I was
All right. I love everybody. Y'all have a blessed
love
night.
Love you, too. And see you this weekend.
All right, baby. I love
bye-bye.
You. See you this weekend.
Love you.
Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye-bye. And there you have it. That was my mother, Avis Daniels. I see my third caller has called in. I'm going to go to a very, very short musical break. I'm going to play a little bit of Johnny Gill, Lady Du Jour, one of my favorite songs, and then I'm going to interview him. Yeah.
with a warm embrace. Your touch will set my body aflame. I'm dreaming of a feeling that you bring me. Oh, my, cause girl, you drive me crazy. You're my lady du jour. Oh, for you I don't mind waiting. I'm anticipating my lady du jour.
There you have it. That was Johnny Gill, Lady du jour. I'm going to plug my last caller in. He's waiting so patiently.
Bless, bless, bless.
Yes. Hi, everybody. This is Black Fav, comedian extraordinaire out of Providence, Rhode Island, and you are an artist as well, I see.
I do a few things. I'm not going to lie to you. I do a few things.
Yes, you do. And do you do the jewelry making too? Was that you? Or that you were just promoting someone else?
Yeah, I started a jewelry making company a while ago, so now I just kind of do it on the side. People still holler at me every now and then, make them bracelet or chain, so, yeah.
Okay, okay. And I met you. You hosted Mika Jean's comedy show at the Trifecta not this past weekend, but the time before, which was like last month. And just a funny dude. I mean, and I had to connect with you because you just have a way. You know, so nonchalant, but at the same time, you're funny. And then when I looked on your page, I said, this boy can draw his behind off. I was like, wow. The artwork is like caricatures, right?
Yeah, but I do a lot of caricature. I do a lot of face work. It's a funny story because it's Mother's Day coming up, and that's exactly, you know, how I started drawing. My mom used to work at a bead factory. Like, used to make, like, little tiny jewelry pieces. So not only did I collect a whole bunch of little tiny beads at her job, because I used to sit under the desk because she had to kind of be at work and I had to kind of stay out the way, she would give me pins and all these little tiny materials. So then I would, like, you know, make little things under there. I would draw. So growing up, in that factory, working with my mama, basically, it's how I became who I am. And I never went to school, never went to nothing. I just always just picked up a pen. So I've been drawing since I was like, in single digit somewhere. It's 8, 9 years old.
Right. Absolutely.
God bless
mama. That's that. Yeah, exactly. And the topic tonight is Dear Mama. I just had my mother on. Is there anything that you want to say? What does that topic mean to you?
It's supposed to mean something big to everybody. I know a lot of people. It's funny because recently I met a brother, and his story is so traumatic when it comes to his mom. It put me in a different perspective when it came to mine, because I could never even imagine. And my life wasn't, you know, my mom was 16 when she had us. So, and I say us, me and my brother.
Yep, my mom was 16 too, yep.
You were very young, and I understand, you know, the trials that I had to deal with. I had a mother and a father, but this brother, particular brother, didn't have neither one, and it was traumatic after traumatic. So I just, like, really, you know, value the relationship that we did have, me and my mom and my father, and that whole family unit. And I know she was the biggest part of that because, you know, it's in every Black household is take care of mama. That's what you're supposed to do, especially if you got your men in the house. So
exactly.
I grew up a soldier. I ain't grow up no little boy. I grew up protecting mama. I ain't had no sister, so it was only me, my brother, my dad, and mama. So she was like, you know, and to this day, mama, I just canceled her 2 shows because she had a surgery. I had to go to Virginia and make sure she was right, because she's still, and my mom is like my little sister to me, because she's like, you know, she's the only female. So we ran up out there and to just see her. And I had this different perspective in my heart the whole time, because recently I've been talking to this brother about his growing up. And it's like, you know, I started to really value the things that my mother did to me, even though to someone else it might seem kind of crazy. Like, you know, she had you under the desk at work. That must have been crazy. But you know what? she wanted to be with me. She wanted to make sure I was all right. You know what I'm saying? So that's what it was.
Right.
And I feel like that sacrifice, that's what you had to do. Look where it took me. I'm on the radio, baby, talking about it.
Okay, that's right. You sure are. And yeah. when you you were talking about that, it just brought some things to my memory because I didn't have such a great childhood, but then at the same time, I had a lot of great moments. But I knew that there were some, my friends had mothers who were on drugs, mothers who were not around at all. And people were being raised by their grandparents. I eventually was raised by my grandparents, you know, but at the same time, they didn't, you know, some people didn't even have a mother. And when I realized when I went to the group home, I had to be put up in a group home for protection way up in Hamden. And, you know, some of the people I met there, I mean, it was like some of them didn't even know their mother at all. You know, so it makes you, like you said, you think back and you think through all the people that have gone through stuff, and not everyone has a mother figure in their life. Not everyone has met their mama. Some people are being raised by their adopted parents or foster parents, and God willing, it is a good relationship that established or has been, because there's a lot of trauma with a lot of situations that some children have to endure and live through in order to become adults. And I say, try not to repeat the pattern. If you know what was done to you was wrong, ignorant, stupid, or whatever, or just plain outright evil, you know that that's not love and that's not of God. And you shouldn't accept that from anyone. I don't care who the person is. So, you know, and it's terrible. You know, I had so many strong women in my family. So what are some of the greatest things that when you think about your mother that stands out to you, experience or a time that both of you had?
So my mother, not only did she, you know, she came to Rhode Island when we was like 11 years old. So we did a lot of traveling back and forth from New York, Long Island, Brooklyn. I was originally born in New York City. So when we got to Rhode Island, she started working at the factory and got her degree. You know, she started going to school. And, it was weird because my mother didn't graduate high school. And I, all through growing up, you know, my parents didn't have high school, you know, degree with her. But so she went back to school, got a high school diploma, got a college degree. And she started working with kids.
Wow.
She started being like a social worker working with kids. Now, at this point, I'm like my teens. And she used to take me to work still. She just dragged me to her group homes. And I used to go, she's working at the girls' group home, the boys' shelter. And I used to go play with the kids, meet the people, whatever. Sure enough, when I got old enough, that's what I started doing. And I've been doing that since I was 16 years old, working with group home kids. I was blessed with the opportunity to work with her as one of the mentors for the kids in the group home, and that led me to a position there. So I've been working with kids, and she gave me this love to work with these kids because at first I thought she was crazy. I'm like, why would you want to work with kids who are bad? Because that's what the world put the stigma, you know, these are bad kids, these kids are in the group home. So she told me, she like, you know, what does that mean? You know, like, who told you that, and why is that true, whatever. So we would dissect a lot of things. And my mother naturally was an educator. So my mother, she taught us how to do everything. I'm talking about I made grilled cheese with an iron when I was probably 10 years old. My mother was like not playing because she couldn't be home to teach us all these things. So she made sure we were super independent. So that love that she gave me, that toughness that she gave me, I kind of am the same with my kids that I work with. I work for the Nonviolent Institute now, and I teach children how to be, what violence is inside of them and what violence is inside the community. We give them a stipend and we teach them basically how to love themselves. And this all comes from my mama, because I wouldn't know anything about working with youth. I wouldn't even probably chose that because of the speculation that it has, or the world has over these kids. But because of her love, because of how I've seen her, actually, you know, go to school to do this, you know? And I'm like, oh, yeah, crazy.
Yes.
And now I understand. I understand that there's a position that needs to be filled in this world that people have to do. Some people got to sacrifice who they are to love someone that's not even related to them. Because at the end of the day,
that person is doing it.
You got to do it. You got to be that person.
Yes.
If more people were like this, we would have a beloved community mind. You know what I'm saying? We would have an understanding of how we could be a community. But that's what's wrong with the world, that everybody is non-compassionate, non-empathy. They don't show no love no more. It's a dangerous thing to be, you know, trustworthy of your community, and that's not good. You know, that's not good at all.
Right. And that's one thing that I've learned, too, what you just said, and knowing that not every mother is equipped. So if you're having children that are having children, of course they're not going to be equipped. But a child doesn't understand that. And so, you know, if you can grow up and change the course, change what happened to you, change, you know, what you saw and had to endure, then it makes it better, because now, like you said, you're loving on people that ain't even related, because most people don't even want to be bothered with the ones they got, never mind the ones that ain't related. So, you know, I've always had a heart for children from day one, and I used to sit my sister Andrea down at the board, and I would be teaching her at like 10 years old how to do her ABCs and 1, 2, 3s, how to, you know, and the beginning of reading, and she was only 2. So, I mean, but you have this innate quality in you, because God has to place some people in place when a person's life is out of place. And I know, because I've had many surrogate mothers, many, you know, but I love my mother very much. And, you know, I may got a cane, but don't touch my mother. Don't talk about her. I remember I punched somebody in the face in 7th grade on the bus, almost knocked his teeth out because he did mama jokes. Don't.
That's one thing I don't do on stage. I don't mess with nobody, mama. I leave everybody mama alone.
Yes, exactly.
You got to do it.
So tell us a little bit about the comedy. When did that get started?
So one day I had a couple guys, and all my life I've been a little brother. So my big brother has older friends. So when I got older, them guys was really older than me. And all my life, I grew up with these guys. But I'm talking about these guys were brutal. They didn't care about nothing. They didn't care about me being young. I was about 6'2" at 13 years old. I was a big, big kid.
Right.
So they felt like I was a man. And they used to treat me like that, 12 years old, crack on me, bully me, do all kinds of stuff. So, you know, I had 2 options. And, you know, I either crawl in the closet or become tough as nails. And you know, I didn't go in the closet. I went outside, you know,
right.
And that was really what made me this comedian I am now, because those same guys put me in this bar one day, and they had me, let's just say I was not myself. And I went on stage, and I stopped just messing with the crowd, you know, just on, you know what I'm saying, whatever. It was like an open mic, and lo and behold, shout out to John Perotta from the Comedy Connection in Rhode Island. He was there, and he said, "Yo, listen, man, you got something. You better put something together. Stop just playing around with it." So I was like, "Yeah, whatever, man. I'm gonna just pay. This something I have." And it wasn't nothing impressive, but I kind of was intrigued. So I wrote some jokes down. I did a couple more open mics, and I went down to go see him. And he gave me a slot and gave me 5 minutes for my first time. And it's on my Instagram. My first time ever on a big comedy stage. Anyway, I did a bunch of small open mics, but I never did a big stage like that. And I went crazy. They loved it. It was 4 years ago, and and from there, I've been opening and closing, and now I'm one of the bigger hosts out here. I do a lot of headlining, but I'm mostly a host because I'm only a young comedian, so I don't really call myself a headliner like that. I want to put them years in first before I start taking them titles, but I'm a great host. I just did a show. I was in CT this weekend. I was in CT, Saturday and Sunday. I was with Key Dolla and Misconduct. So I've been booked.
You said that. I went to her birthday party, me and my sister Tammy, last May that she had up there.
A good show.
Yep.
Sunday was a good show.
Yeah, I wouldn't have been able to do it. That's why I had to pass on that. But I knew it was going to be good.
Yeah. Well, yeah, comedy, it was automatic. Like, it was something that was already instilled in me just because it's a survival skill in the hood to be funny, to be charismatic. You know, you can't be – everybody can't be a thug. That wasn't me. I wasn't a thug. You know, I was the one you don't
want
to mess with because he'll call you so many things, and then you better – and then you're going to be mad. And you can't do nothing.
Yep.
Look who we hang with.
Exactly.
So it was even crazy.
Exactly.
Like, a lot of people, like, they understand that. Like, this was a survival skill for me. That's why I'm so fearless on stage, because how could I be scared of y'all when look who was doing this to me? Look, these guys are 10 years older than me, slapping me upside my head, calling me all kinds of black this, black that.
Bullies. Okay, so we ain't had no protection back then. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, where was y'all then? Think about some. I need a protection then. I don't need it now. I'm good now.
Right. And you like 6 feet four, ain't you? You like?
Yeah.
You got to be over 6 feet.
I'm 6'5", actually. Yep. I'm 6'5".
Wow. Yes.
Yep.
I know you was real
tall. And it didn't
matter
either, because they all big too. So 6'5" didn't even matter in that group. They were some of them 6'5", 6'6", 220. Yeah. All right. Yeah. Big boys, man. Big boys. So I wasn't even a big guy around the people, so it didn't even matter.
Exactly. See, and the thing about it is, you know, I relate to that because I grew up in the ghetto on the south end in Stanford, in the Village, and then on the west side. So I understand what it is to have to survive as a child when there were no laws to help us and protect us as far as bullying or otherwise, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so you know, and if you couldn't fight, you better learn to do something else quick.
You better learn to do something good too.
Yes, yes. And boy, I had to fight because girls picked on me because I was pretty. I was light-skinned because I had food. My mother would call me in for meals. You know, I had nice clothes. So I always got picked on. And I had to learn how to fight. But at the same time, I learned how to be a comedian, too, because that helped me get away from the behind whoopings from all my grandmothers.
Oh, there you go. Make them laugh. They leave you alone.
Okay. You know what I'm saying? So it's strange how some things, you know, start off as survival out of something negative and turn into something positive, you know?
Yeah. It's amazing,
so
though.
Where
it's a blessing
you...
because that's, as a people, that's what we do with everything we are, black people, and they give us scraps. We make soul food, so it don't matter what you give us, we're going to turn something beautiful into it. It don't matter.
That's right. That's right. And, you know, I want to know to tell you to tell the people, you know, because we got a few minutes left. We can keep going, though. But where are you going to be up next at? Are you going to be back in Connecticut? Where can people find you performing again?
So I got a bunch of scattered shows. You know, I'm in New York City. There's a big show going on out there. Shout out to the Club of Harlem Club of Comedy out there. It's a new spot. I'm doing a bunch of shows in Rhode Island. I got Jet Set next Sunday, Mother's Day. They gave me the microphone. I'm going to be acting crazy in there. So if you check me out on social media, at BlackSav, BlackSav, you will find every show that I'm going because I always promote myself. Listen, I'm going to be everywhere. I don't even know exactly where I'm going to be at, but I know if you check it out, I'm going to be in a city near you because I'm on move. I'm going to go right now. So.
Yes.
I'm ready to go. Right, yeah, and Boston's a big place, too. I'm in Boston a lot as well. You know, shout out to Mrs. Gates over there at Slade. So I'm doing a couple of different places, man.
Yes. And so I hope to see you again soon performing. I wish Jackson still was doing, you know, the weekly thing, you know, at the Metric, because it was just joy, just complete joy, having so many comedians come through every week. Yeah. It was just amazing. And I even performed my debut comedy because I hadn't done it in a lot of years except for online. So it was just totally exciting, you know. But in any case, I want to talk a little bit about this artwork because it is absolutely beautiful. If you guys can go to the show page, see the slideshow. I think I put up at least two pictures of your artwork. I'm not sure. But in any case, what made
I'll
you... how did you get so good at this? I mean, did you take classes? Was it something that is just innate in you?
So, like I said, my mother, she instilled a lot of that artistic stuff. You know what I mean? She wasn't an artist, but she was a supporter. So she grabbed me paper. I was a pen collector. 10 years old, I was collecting pens, and I never really drew with a pencil. I only drew with a pencil. Mistakes were a possibility, and I did this for years, and all through high school, the teachers would let me kind of take notes like this. I would, instead of writing the word that she said, well, I would draw, and that drawing would kind of be my notes. I would understand what she said better, and I understand, like, this was my learning process. So
from right. high school,
I went to college like this. You know, and it just became a habit. Like, so when I'm in the office now, when I'm in a meeting with my staff, I'm drawing, you know. When they're in the meeting, we're talking about whatever, they understand totally that this is who June is. This isn't, I'm not being disrespectful. I'm just processing the information in my own way. So that's
in your own way.
Good. I never stopped. I never stopped drawing. Like, I literally, if you follow me on Instagram or Facebook, you will see. Every 2 days, a new picture will pop up, and that's just who I am.
And that's the kind of tenacity I like, because I'm an artist myself, and been since I was 2 years old, you know, are very artistic because it's in our family. Everybody just naturally knows how to draw on my mother's side. So, you know, if I can have that tenacity that you have, because – you know, I go in spurts. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Artist life is hard,
you know?
Because we are the worst. We're hard on ourselves, and we sit here. We, you know. But again, I had a lot of people being hard on me growing up. Going outside for me was like a battle zone. What you gonna deal with today? Because I'm tall, I'm big.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? And I'm young. I'm sensitive, but I gotta act strong. So. You know,
right.
Every damn going out there to this battlefield. But now, there's not a, like, people always tell me I'm fearless. Everybody, everywhere I go, oh, you are so fearless. You don't give a, you don't care. And it's not that I don't care. It's that I've been dealing with that for so long. I understand everybody's energy. And I don't, you know what I'm saying? So no one can make me feel away about my art, which gives me the tenacity that I have. You can't. It don't matter what you think. I'm not even drawing this for y'all.
No, exactly. I ain't drawing this for nobody either. But I, you know, you staring.
I'm giving it to God.
Go ahead.
Doing this for God. I'm doing my work for God. I'm not. This is not for you people. So when people say, why is his nose like that? It ain't for you. God said it was beautiful. Mind your business. That's how I feel anyway. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly. You don't understand it, but I do.
You don't have to, because, you know, this is not you. It's not for you. So that's why it's so important for me to keep doing. A lot of people are looking for the thing that God wants them to do. They're looking for their purpose, and I know mine. And that annoys the wrong people. That annoys all the wrong.
Right.
Anybody who's not for me, that's going to piss you off, because you walking around searching for your glow, and I'm walking around playing with mine.
Right, got you. Yes,
yeah.
I understand.
So that's
and sometimes
a lot
it's hard.
Of times I run into.
It's hard when you have a certain light within you that has been there the whole time. And I believe that everybody has that light if they will let it shine. But a lot of times, because you don't know your own purpose or you don't know your own gifts and talents or what makes you happy, it annoys you because the next person knows what makes them happy. They know, you know, that they're great at this or great at that. They have built that confidence up, or because, like you said, been torn down so much in your life that it doesn't matter how you feel about it. You know what I'm saying?
It's like because how rich it's a form. How broke people feel about rich people. Yeah.
Exactly.
They got something we don't got.
Exactly.
We want what you got. That's exactly what this is, you know?
Yep. Yep. And to me, it's no jealousy. It's like I look at other people's stuff, you know, because I do a lot of different things, like, you know, writing and blah, blah, blah. But I look at other people's stuff and I just stare and study it because I want to learn. What can I do better? You know what I'm saying? And I stare at my own art sometimes for weeks on end just looking, because I know that maybe something is missing, or, you know, until I'm comfortable and ready to paint. It is weird, but that's how I do it.
That's your process. You're not weird about that. I like your process.
Right.
It's funny.
That's my process.
I tell a lot of artists, I say, just go ahead and do it. Like that, like people always ask me, like, because I got a lot of artwork. I got physical artwork. I got digital artwork. I got sculptures that I've done. My house is like a damn creative Hobby Lobby or something. My lady think I'm crazy.
Wow.
So,
that's dope.
At the end of the day, I feel like that's more important, that you do it. Because after you're done with that one, guess what? God's going to give you some more information for you to do another one. So why are you worried about that one? Get on to the next one. And if you need to go back later on in life or even tomorrow or whenever, it's fine because it's yours. You can go back in your book, add some lines to it, make it better if you didn't like what you see. But just not doing it leaves nothing. And you have to put that out there. You got to keep doing it something, because later on in life, when your kids are growing up and the people around you and they see and they go into your stuff and they see what you did with yourself, you don't know what that's going to do for him. You don't know why God had you draw these pictures. It's not for you, again. It was for him to bless whatever, whoever, however. But it's not, you know, your mission to know. It's just do it for him, let him do what he do, and that's it. Because
that's
a lot of people, you know, they have a lot of art inside of them, and they don't take it out. They don't let the world see it because of the fear of this world or whatever somebody's going to say or something. And that's cool, whatever, if that's how you want to live your life. But if you let God in and let him do what he do with your gifts, look what he can. Look at my life. I'm an artist. I'm a sculptor. I'm a jewelry designer. I'm a teacher. I'm a father. I have so many different jobs, and how? And I'm not even sleepy.
That one caught me for a loop.
I make music. You know, I've been making digital music since I was a kid. I still have my music stuff here. My kids come and they make digital music with me. We draw on the iPad. Sometimes we write songs together. I have 5 TVs in my house. They never cut on. You come in my house and all you're doing is something creative. Like that right there is my blessing. That right there is more than money, more than anything. My kids love me, and they love what I do, and they support
and
me.
And they're beautiful, too.
Oh, my little babies, little models.
Beautiful
children. I got 3 little models. My little models, man.
Yes, well, it was a pleasure to have you on, Black Sav. Is there any last-minute things you would like to say?
Listen, please. As you're here, I appreciate you listening to this beautiful lady's voice and doing this thing. She gave me this opportunity, and I'm so appreciative of it. If you follow
me
on all social medias and all of that stuff, at Black Sav, BLAQSAV. Again, I'm an entrepreneur, I'm an artist, and I'm a comedian, and I love to work with people who are good, you know. So I bless y'all all, and have a great night.
Thank you. Thank you so much for taking your time out. And you have a blessed night, and keep up with all that you're doing. It's just wonderful, wonderful to see a Black man doing all of what you just said you do. And you got the work to show for it. You know what I'm saying? So God bless
Amen.
You.
Amen.
You have a good night. You want to say shout out to your mom?
Shout out to my mama. Shout out to my nana. My nana still, I love my nana. That's my mama's mama. She's still around. I met my great-grandmother, too. Shout out to Nana Faye. She passed away not too long ago, but I love my great-grandmama, too. So I had three
yes.
mamas, and I love all of
yes.
them. Shout out to all my aunties, because they all was my mamas, too. My auntie Poochie, my auntie Dee Dee, all of my aunties, all of them.
Yes.
I love them. I love y'all.
Yes, every last one, yep.
That's right.
All right,
all the women
thank
in my
so
family
much.
Were amazing, strong women, so I appreciate you giving me, reminding me, because I probably don't be in trouble later.
Like they said, charge into your head, not your heart.
There you go.
You know? All right. Good night. God bless.
Have a good night. No.
You too. Bye-bye. Well, there you have it. That was Black Fav out of Rhode Island. I am going to go to a very quick musical break, and then I'm going to come back and tell you who has graced this show. I'm going to do some birthday shout-outs, and I'm going to finish this for as long as I'm possibly able to do it, and then I'm going to end the show. So stay tuned in. I'm going to play a little bit of Sweet Thing by Chaka Khan. That's a classic Sweet Thing by Rufus and Chaka Khan. I love me some Chaka Khan. Anyway, you are tuned in to Talk to Me Radio. This is Cherie Humphrey, your host on tonight. We are dedicating this show to all the mothers and mother figures, aunties, grandmas around the world. I just recently had my cousin Katrina on, and my mom, Avis, on. And so we are continuing the show. I do want to give some birthday shout-outs to my niece, Jasmine Daniels, my godson, Deshaun McCain, my old friend, Janelle Jackson Gwynn, Dominique Love Jay. I call her Princess. He was like a brother to me, Carl Vanderpool Jr., Kenneth Thomas, old friend from Union Baptist, Shanice Kraft. Hopefully I can have her back on the show again because it was so, so long ago when she was on. Vera Carter from my old church, Darlene A. Fernandez, who's been on the show, Darren Cookie Moore, who's been on the show, Juan Castillo, who I've been on his show, 2017, telling my life story, Bishop Kenneth Williams, Shamara Young Lewis, my cousin, Ashley Star Burney, who has been on one of my talent shows and on this show as a past guest. So I want to thank everybody. If I didn't call your name, just know that there's not enough time, and I just call out whoever I see at that time and put it down. I'm going to go to Romans 10, 9 through 11. This is the salvation prayer in the New Living Translation. So if you have never heard it or you would like to rededicate yourself or you would like to give your life over to Christ for the first time, you can do so. And you can say this prayer out loud, you know, to a friend, a Christian friend, somebody that is more seasoned than you, and find a good place to worship and learn and fellowship, you know. So in any case, it says, if you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is by believing in your heart that you are made right with God, and it is by openly declaring your faith that you are saved. As the scriptures tell us, anyone who trusts in him will never be disgraced. And so it's good to say that prayer out loud. Don't be afraid. Find somebody that you could talk to continue your Christian walk. Because let me tell you something. Because of the COVID, there's been a lot of online church. And nothing's wrong with online. But I do know in the Bible says, do not forsake the fellowship of the saints. And that means you got to be around some people who are like-minded and trying to go the same place you go. Because if you don't, you're not going to go anywhere. And just saying, oh, I'm a good person, doesn't cut it. You have to do more than that because it says we are all filthy rags in his sight. Our sins are washed clean by his blood. We are justified by his blood in Christ Jesus because of what he did, not what we did or didn't do. Therefore, there's no more condemnation in Christ Jesus. So once you give your heart over, he doesn't see all the little things that all your friends, all your family like to bring up every time they see you and never let it go. You could be 30 years later, 40 years later, they're still going to talk about all the stuff you did. And so you just know that God does not see you like that, and you want to rededicate yourself, you can do so. I've rededicated myself I don't know how many times. So, you know, and I had to get around other people who are more seasoned because I could possibly have been dead by now, for real, for real. So I'm not telling you something I heard, and I'm not telling you something I read out of a book. I'm telling you stuff by experience because when I went to service yesterday, I had an amazing deliverance, and that could not have been possible through looking online at church. So I'm just saying, you know, if you're bedridden and you have no choice, that's different. You know, sometimes I can't even get on my knees because my back is hurting so bad and I don't think I'm be able to get up off the floor, you know. You know, so it, if you are bedridden and you have a disability or something like that, God knows your heart. He sees what's going on. But if you are blatantly disregarding him and calling yourself a Christian, something wrong. You got to work that out, you know, between you and him. I'm just saying. So I'm going to go to some of the people that have graced this show. Let me get some drink real quick. Now, this is not everyone, because there's no way I can get 13 years of people on this sheet of paper. So those who have graced this show, whether through the radio, whether through my column that I had, the Bridgeport Christianity Examiner, whether through my column, Talk to Me on my website, or interviewing them in person as a reporter, I'm going to read. Melba Moore, Yo-Yo, the legendary rapper, Donnell Jones, the legendary R&B singer, Special Ed, the legendary rapper, CeCe Peniston, J.J. Harrison, Christopher Williams, Bernard Jackson of Surface, Doobie Powell, Curtis Blow, Stacey Ladisaw Jackson, Glenn Jones, T. Lucas, DJ Juan Kuhn, Michael Dunham, Benita Brooks, Ernest Brown, Tamar Caldwell, Al Thomas, The Green Violinist, Tony Redd, Darren Cookie Moore, Calvin Richardson, Wendell B., J.D. Lawrence, Marcel Lashley Davies, Richmond Punch, Carmichael the Music Lover, Isaac Zellner, Davey Lozano, Randy Young, Joe Show, Nick Kelly, Nick Agnetto, Norman Tappan, Chris Clark, Mo Green, Monique Smith, Dre Romero, Spencer Camp, Cool Mike Ski, Wasan Jackson, Craig Kelly, A-Plus Hollywood, Tony Bird, King Mafioso, Jonathan Du Bois Jr. and Sr., Ane Du Bois, Kim Mathis, Elder Jeanette Green Washington, Pastor Joseph Green, Avis Daniels, my mom, Andrea Daniels, my sister, Charles Fulton. My mother finally told me his last name. If those of you listen to the show, you know why I'm laughing. Sebastian Tribute, LaVon Briggs, Jonathan Gates, Mika Jean, Hope Flood, Howie Bell, J.P. Justice, Drew Frazier, Capone, Jay Alexander, Gerald Kelly, FSW, Pastor Brown, Janice Dempsey, A. Curtis Farrell, my former producer of the McDonald's Gospel Fest, Riff, Easy Taylor, Keisha Rainey, Judith Seeley, Rashawn Langley, Kiki West, Tiffany Tizell, Omar Wilson, Phoenix Fire, Jada Comedian, Misconduct, Ricky Allen Drawn, J. Trini Gorn, Coffrey Gorn, Deborah Williams of Her Game 2, Don Nottingham of the Stylistics, Midnight, Marcia Sapp of New York, Carissa Dow, the violinist of New York, John Hinton, Bernadette Barnes of New York, Prophet Ramai Jubilani, Ashley Mondestin, Pierre Guten, my godmother, Pastor Arlene Henry, Maris Goldstone, my auntie, I called her, Prophetess Brenda Culpepper, Damon Cook, Kia Swentz, Satanya Ford, Sonia Hudson Payne, Trina Seymour Bowers, of Florida now, Lauren G., Sheila McCoy, author Emma Brooks, Odelia, Pastor Felicia Cunningham, Lou Humphrey of BSC Recordings, Kent Barrett of WNHU, Jerry Green of WYBC, Rashawn Dixon of WYBC, Steve Wallace, Sierra Clark, Lyle Hassan Jones, Songbird, Dave Farrell of California, Travis Sims, Jason V. Watt, Dwight Lamar of New York, Herb Boyd Jr., Tyrone Dunmore, a.k.a. Terrible T, Candace Rena, Bobby Ramos, John Lawson, Matthew Kirkwood, the former assistant producer of the McDonald's Gospel Fest, Big T, Lachey Nicole, Tamar Jerome Pierre, Greg Hill of the Delphonics, Robbie Jenkins, Marilyn Moore, Naja McKenzie, Najia Treat, Gloria Cummings, Darlene McGee, Pastor Gene Smith, Dr. Green, Rodney Bethia, Lynn Mosher, Darlene Addison, Chandra Shabazz, my cousin, Carolyn Smith, Naja McKenzie, Kayla, Mr. Council, Nene Ali of New York, Frankie Brady, Elder Savanda Gaskew of Hartford, Pamela Wright, formerly of Hartford, Spencer Camp, Kaylin Jackman, Amari Daniel Bay, Jennifer Armistead, Jazz E. Matt, Robert Williams of Blue Magic, Dr. Jamal Bryant, Jamaica Morrison, Bishop Ernest Richards, Michael Jones, Gina Blaze, Connie Johnson, Lamar Taylor, James Fountain, Lisa Mellers, Jeanette Zachs, David Davis, Anthony E. Brown Jr., Ernell Grant, Brian DeCauzy, Doremius Williams, Matt Jones, Sheena Bailey of New York, Cool Bubba Ice, Humphrey Bogart, my cousin, Marlon Randolph, Lachey Nicole, Asante M. Smith, M. Robinson, Johnny Lemon, Karina Ford, Tishy Anderson, Renee Love, Treasure Marie, Ebony with an X, Cece Lee, Kaylee Roselle, Top Notch Band, Norman Tappan, Vicky Winans, Pastor Shirley Caesar, Donnie McClurklin, Mighty Clouds of Joy, Jennifer Hollander, Damian Marley, Little John, Sierra, Little Bo, Terry Cruz, Mary, Bobby Valentino, Deidre Cadden, Nigel, Dr. Jell Dunkley, Janet Dawson of Atlanta, Velasquez Singers of New Jersey, Walter Armistead of New York, Ashley Welfare, Walter Taylor, Janice Murray, Lawrence Green of New Jersey, Sammy Maximum, John the Apprentice, and many, many more. I'd like to thank you so much for joining me on this Dear Mama episode. Keep tuning in. My next episode, I believe, is going to be on the 22nd of May. And then I have like two more, and then I'm taking a month off in July. And we'll resume in August, God willing. So thank you so much. God bless all the mothers. God bless everyone. Shout out, tribute to Grandma Dorothy, Grandma Susie, Grandma Humphrey, Aunt Izita, Aunt Onita, Aunt Chandra, and all the people that have gone before that played a pivotal part in my life and my family's life, and most of all, to my mother, Avis Daniels, who is held down and she's still listening. So God bless you, Ma. I love you. Thank you all for tuning in. Share this link with someone. I'm going to take us out with a song, and I think I'm going to play a little bit of Marcus Cole, Being With You.
Oh, yeah. Ooh. Ooh. I love being with you.
I can let my guard down.
I can pour my heart out. I love being with you. In the solitude of quietness, and in my pursuit to find myself, I'm aware of just how blessed I am to commune with you. In my life there's a lot of time spent with you cliches and speaking eloquent, but in my heart is the true sentiment, so let me be true.
Ooh.
I love
you.
There is nothing else I'd rather do but
I can let
shouldn't have to pretend like I'm something I'm not. And I don't wanna floss like I got a lot, cause I don't. And there are things in my past that I'm glad you forgot. And that I tell you, thank you.
Ooh.
I think it was Andre that said, if I had 10,000 tongues, I would tell the world, but that still wouldn't be enough. So I'll just be content with an audience of one. Thank you for spending time with your son, being here. There's nowhere I'd rather be than right here with you, with you. I can let my guard down, yeah. I can put my heart out, oh. Lord, I love being here with you. Look at here. Sometimes I feel like I don't wanna sing your song. No, I don't. Cause I am far from perfect, and I don't wanna lead anybody wrong. Ooh, but you above all people know my heart, and you know where I stand. Yes, you do. So I'm gonna stay right here till I become a better man. Ooh, being here with you, oh Lord, that's all I ever wanna do. You, I wanna be right here with you. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Oh, with you, I can let my guard down. And with you, I can pour my heart out. Yeah, 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 yeah. Being right here with you, 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 you. I can tell you all about my fears, and I can show you all of my tears, Lord, yeah. I love being with you, you. I can let it down. Ooh, no matter, no matter, no matter what, Lord, I know that you have my best interest at heart. Ooh, ooh, ooh. I love being here with you.